On June 14th, 2016, I was in Columbus, Ohio for the annual General Assembly of UU congregations. There was a lot going on, like any GA, worship and business and workshops and meeting up with all the people I only get to see once a year. But the thing on my mind this afternoon was a protest that had been announced. It wasn't us getting ready to support a local partner like we had done the evening before, though. We had heard that the Westboro Baptist Church was coming to the convention center to protest us. That's right, the people who hold up signs telling queer folks they're going to hell were going to protest our gathering, not even 2 weeks after the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida, in which 49 people were killed and 53 were injured during a Latin night celebration. Before I tell you what happened, I first want to invite you to notice how you're feeling after hearing the words I just said. Are you angry? Maybe righteously so? Afraid for yourself or loved ones who've been or might be harmed by this kind of rhetoric? Indignant? Sad? I was feeling all of those things, along with this little knot in the pit of my stomach that often comes with confronting strong emotions like this and thinking about being in a space with people who provoke those strong emotions. So there we were, gathered inside the convention center, near the door we'd be leaving to walk up the block to meet these people. Our leaders for the event told us that our work was to meet their hate and fear with love. And so we prayed together, and we held hands, and we started singing. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love, over and over. And then we left the building, singing, enter, rejoice, and come in. And we slowly walked toward the demonstration, and we saw all their signs, and we sang, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, as we walked. And then we were there among them, singing, there is more love somewhere. And then the UUs wearing the angel wings that had been used at the Orlando funerals to block these same signs from the view of the people who'd lost their loved ones to armed hate, came in and stood in front of some of the Westboro people. And we kept holding hands, singing, moving among them, moving around them, smiling. I found myself near a skinny boy who couldn't have been more than 18 years old, holding a sign of condemnation. And I'd been singing long enough and hearing my people singing long enough and was feeling open enough to the love being projected by all my people around me so that I could look at him fully and see him. And I found myself quietly saying, I love you. I love you. Over and over again, and looking at him. He looked at me. He looked at the wave of us meeting his people, and he sneered and started to back up. I kept holding hands with my fellow UUs, and we kept singing and moving toward them gently, slowly, but firmly. And they backed off, slowly. They regrouped across the street, and we didn't chase them. That's not what we were there for. But they looked small and harmless next to our brightly colored stoles and clothes and those yellow side with love shirts and the angel wings and the determination that love wins. And in this small moment, it felt like it did. This was unlike any protest I had ever been to. Our fists weren't up. We weren't shouting. We weren't chanting. We had no fear that anyone might be hurt. We were simply there to radiate love. And the love emanated by our leaders and moving among us through song was unlike anything I had ever felt, unlike the best possible singing in a building, unlike any other feeling of protest I'd had. It opened my heart from the bonds of the anger and sadness I'd been feeling, and it offered me the chance to help move it, to help move the love I was feeling toward my fellow UUs and then toward the people who had actually caused the anger and sadness. I felt joyful and I felt disoriented. This was new. And then it was over. And the love energy we had created and rejoiced and swirled all around and started to dissipate. I gathered back up with my friends and we all shared giddy, warm hugs in the afterglow. And it was like those first moments of a reunion that you look forward to for a whole year. And someone took a picture. And somewhere deep inside me was a sense of wonder that it could be this joyful. And a little bit of the righteous indignation toward the Westboro folks returned and crept in because, well, I have a strong sense of righteousness and it's hard not to have it return. But it was still mostly wonder at how full I had felt. I'd come to this gathering with a story in my head and my heart of what protest looks like and feels like, and that story in the experience turned into a new one. And I bring that every time I go out in the streets now. This is what being grounded in the love that holds us all can feel like while working for justice together. Huh. Is this what Dr. Cornel West meant when he said justice is what love looks like in public? Or what Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis calls fierce love? Is it what Ali Muldrow wrote, meant? Is it what she meant when she wrote, I want to tell you the revolution will be joyful, that your happiness is a necessity and your love will be remembered. I share this experience to offer a story, a new story. Not to say that all protests should be like this. I firmly believe that righteous anger in the marginalized and those of us who would side with them is completely appropriate. And that showing it is sometimes the most effective way to make a point. And that we shouldn't be afraid of its expression. I share the experience to share the shift in my own story. Can you imagine choosing to take that anger, that righteous indignation, and using it to create something beautiful? I know you can, because you all watched the amazing video that Mandy chose to share today. The music and the dance telling a story that is still lived by queer folks despite the good work being done for welcome and inclusion. The young woman at the beginning saying she was sick of being afraid to use her own voice and that she wants what's being built to be for the good. And how she dances to show people who she is. And the young man talking about how we wait to take action until it's too personal not to. They dance to change the old story into a new one. For themselves and for everyone watching, for me and for you. And so I ask you, what old stories are we still telling ourselves? What if we asked if they still serve us? And what if we made space for new stories if they don't? I'll start with my own old stories. What if other people really do know what they're doing and things will be fine if I don't control them? Huh. What if I understood myself as strong instead of stubborn? Beautiful instead of flawed? Wise instead of opinionated? Worthy of love and care instead of a burden? What if my mom was teaching me resilience when it felt like neglect? What if that sixth grade bully was suffering and acting out? What if I am enough? I think that's a good start. And what are some of our collective old stories that we might explore? What if we have the same mission and convictions we did a year and a half ago, but are too exhausted by the background effects of the dual pandemics of COVID-19 and the white cis hetero capitalist patriarchy to feel effective at practicing them? What if it's okay to be tired and take time to take care of ourselves? What if it's okay to continue to want the slower pace we've been forced into this past year? What if we have enough resources of time, talent, and treasure to sustain our congregation and make a positive impact on our community? What if inclusion means more than just what I need? What if we're not all allergic to language like God or faith or church? What if we have relationships with a wide variety of people who make us better as a collective? What if we are enough? Let us remember this morning and beyond that this has been and continues to be an extraordinary time. We are individually and collectively being challenged in ways we never have, and learning things about ourselves that we never would have had to learn if things around us had stayed normal. This is important. We will never be the same as we were pre-COVID, and we're still fighting for the same equalities we've been fighting for since the genocide and enslavement of millions of our human siblings to create this country and its norms. The story of white supremacy culture is an old story. It's an old story that is slowly but surely being replaced by a story of human kinship and connection and relationship and affirmation. The story of our faith tradition being led by white educated men is an old story. And it was a true story. And it's being replaced far more quickly than the story of white supremacy culture. And that replacement is still in progress as transgender and non-binary people and BIPOC people and disabled people are being welcomed more readily. And our Reeb story has been deeply impacted by isolation, by tenacity, by fear and sadness, by resilience and joy, and yes, love this past year. I cannot wait to see what new stories we will make out of all of that. May it be so, and may we be so.